Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, 5021 East Columbus Drive in Ybor City, home of the best devil crabs in town. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that devil crab. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Sports Legends Bar and Grill, home of one of the best draft parties this area, Tampa Bay, has ever seen. We took the roof off that mother. Phenomenal food. It's all fresh, and it's the only place in Tampa where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ. It's at the corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Sports Legends Bar and Grill, where you can eat like a legend.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we about. I know what we about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select OJ.
Yeah!
Midweek, man, we are almost there. Back to the weekend. Mother's Day. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good weekend. You going to have some fun this weekend? Why wouldn't we have fun? Let's go. This is Bucks Uncensored. I'm Justin Pulaski, the commish. And a stick carrier just like each and every one of you. You know, we take the words of our coach, Dirk Cutter, to heart. He says to speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. You bet your fucking ass we're going to do that. That's why we're stick carriers. We believe in our coach. We believe in our team. We believe in our general manager. You know, before the draft, I said, follow the light. Follow the light. And taking a step back over the last week and a half. And yeah, listen, of course we were going to talk about how awesome the party was and how great this community that we were building has become and how you can't stop this movement. You just can't. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We are self-sustaining now. There's no stopping us. Continuing to grow. The group, the Facebook group page is well over 1,000 now in a week. It's pretty impressive. You can just feel the energy. And it's May. the draft's over. It's May. I had one of my biggest days. I mean, obviously, thank you to Miko Grimes, who fucking crushed it. I mean, she was so phenomenal. I had one guy on the Facebook page saying, oh, God, I thought it was going to be a train wreck. And then he's like, she was really good. And she was. She knew her shit, man. I can't wait to have her back on. Oh, my God. And how could you not agree with what she said? You know, Hard Knocks. Is it a distraction? Distraction? Fuck that. These guys have to go out and do their job. And she's right. I never understood distraction. Ooh, I'm really worried about what the guy next to me is doing. Like, nobody gives a shit about that. Oh, you got, everyone's going to have to answer those questions to the tough media that's in the locker room. No, who gives a shit? Like, let's say I go to work each day. And before I go to my office area, I have to sit down and answer questions about Jim Lighthall and what he's doing in his spare time because Jim and I work together. It would not affect my job. I wouldn't give a shit. Distractions. Fuck. She called out the media. She said that Mike Smith told her even before that last game even ended that he wasn't going anywhere. It's really good stuff. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Miko Grimes was fire. I mean, absolute fire. It was phenomenal having her on. And we're already planning on her coming back on. I want to plan maybe the week of that Dolphins game, man. Week one. Why the fuck not? She hates the Dolphins. You thought she was fire this week. Whew. That'll be something something to be heard. So, Miko, thank you. I said follow the light, though, before the draft. And I've sat back and I've thought about it. And, boy, Jason Light went into this draft. And I'm sure he didn't think that O.J. Howard was going to be there. But he has had a blueprint this entire time. And I just want to focus on the draft because I'm going to focus on the entire roster probably next week. Because I think he's done some special things with the roster that might be going unnoticed. Now, granted, I don't know what anyone else is saying because I don't listen to anyone else other than Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman, and Rock Riley, and Gil Arcia, of course. That's it. I mean, the rest of it's just garbage, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm just tired of the negative bullshit. I'm ready to just be positive. And man, I'm just so looking forward to this upcoming season. You know, something pisses us off, we're going to let us know. But we're not going to just be negative to be negative. We let other people do that, right? So Jason Light goes into this draft, and it's so clear what his game plan was, what his vision was on both sides of the ball. You know, he looked on offense, and he said, you know what? I need weapons for Winston. I need a tight end. I need a wide receiver. I need a running back. Boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I mean, it was clear as day. He said, those are the three positions I want to get. Now, did he think O.J. Howard was going to be there in the first round? Probably not. Maybe they were looking at Njoku. Maybe they were looking at a running back there and getting a tight end later on. Very deep tight end class. But I'm sure he looked at it and said, wide receiver, running back, tight end, those three positions somewhere in this draft. And what did he get? O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin, who I think there's a lot of talent there. And the thing I love most about Godwin is he's got talent. But that dude catches the ball with his hands away from his body. And the best receivers do that. The best receivers do that. Not a lot of rookie receivers do that. But he does. When you do that, you don't drop as many passes. Just, excited about that pick. And then McNichols, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens with him. I wouldn't discount the idea of the Bucks continuing to add at running back. You know, you got Jaquizz Rodgers. Charles Sims has been injured 2 out of his 3 NFL seasons. Been injured. How reliable is he? Peyton Barber? No, not relying on him. Jaquizz Rodgers was, again, on the street week 3 last year. McNichols, okay, good player out of Boise. I still think that there's potential out there. And I'm going to have Luke Easterling on. I'm going to bring this name up to him when he comes on. Luke Easterling, DraftWire, thedraftwire.com. He's going to come on. We'll talk about the draft with him. But I'm going to throw this name out at him because you got to look at some of these teams that drafted running backs, right? And then how does their running back depth look? And I look at a team like the Redskins, and I see Fat Rob, who had good season last year. They get Chris Thompson, who's your change of pace back. Then they draft Samaje Perine. I mean, that's 3 running backs right there. They got a guy in Matt Jones. Is he going to be the odd man out? Would the Redskins be willing to trade Matt Jones? And I know Matt Jones is right here from the Tampa Bay area. Dude played at Armwood. 3rd-round pick a couple years ago. Played for the Gators. If the Bucks are looking to go for a running back by committee, I'm not saying the guy's going to be the answer. I'm not saying the guy's going to come in and light it up. But I'll say this about Matt Jones is, would I want him as part of my stable of running backs? Yeah, I think I would. Because I think you could get him on the cheap. Whether it's a trade, a 6th or 7th round pick, or as a free agent, if he ends up being released by the Redskins, and I think either way the Bucks could get him on the cheap, and absolutely I'd want to add him as a depth piece to my running backs, and then give him an opportunity to be what the Redskins thought he could be as a 3rd round pick a few years ago. Why not? That's just one example, but I think you look at the teams that drafted running backs and then look at their stable. And if they have pretty good depth at running back, then maybe you could see somebody as the odd man out. I mean, I look at the Saints and say, okay, you got Ingram, you got Adrian Peterson, you draft Kamara. Like, what in the hell are you doing? What in the hell are you doing? I don't know if anyone's going to be the odd man out there, but good Lord. I'm not quite sure what they're trying to build in New Orleans, but so be it. So I don't know if the Bucks are done at running back, but clearly Jason Light's vision on offense was Jameis Winston's going into year 3. We're confident about our offensive line. That's clear now. Did you guys believe me? Did you guys believe me? Way back during the season when I said the Bucks like their offensive line. They're young. Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, Kevin Pamphile, they're young. Sweezy, they signed as a free agent. 28, 29 years old, but they signed him as a free agent. He's going to start. And then Damar Dotson and Caleb Benenach, who they're going to groom to be their right tackle, another young player. They're young along their offensive line. They like their offensive line. They weren't going to address it. They didn't address it. They didn't feel they needed to. They needed weapons for Winston, which is something I said probably mid-November or earlier last year. That's been the goal the entire offseason. From DeSean Jackson to O.J. Howard to Chris Godwin to Jeremy McNichols, it's all been about weapons for Winston. And they got him. But then we look to the defensive side of the ball. What was Jason Light's vision there? Was it just positions? Or was it mentality? Justin Evans. Beckwith. Stevie T, defensive tackle. Look at those 3 guys. Big, nasty, and physical. I can use those words to describe each of them. Justin Evans, bigger for a safety. Flies to the football, big hitter, nasty. Beckwith, big, nasty, physical. Stevie T, big, nasty, physical. Do y'all see the pattern here? Bad ass motherfucking football team. Dirt cutter. I want a badass defense. I want a badass team, but I want a badass defense. Well, if you want a badass defense, you better draft some badass players. I think they did that. I think they brought in Chris Baker, who's got that type of swag. They got Kwon Alexander, who they feel has that. Brent Grimes, Vernon Hargraves, feel they got that. Robert Ayers, we know he's got it. They want a badass defense. Okay? A defense that won't take shit from no one. Kind of like us as stick carriers. We're not taking shit from no one. Same thing with our defense. So the vision for Jason Light, this is why we follow the light. We get weapons for Winston. We get a badass defense. We score points offensively, and we kick the shit out of people defensively. Folks, you know what that they call that? A complete team. I'm so excited. I am so excited. And I don't care how long we have to wait for the season. We're going to just hype the shit out of it the rest of the offseason. Let's get some Bucks takes in before Luke Easterling joins us. And who better to start with than our new friends? Now I see their names and I'm like, oh, yes. It's the OKC boys.
Miko, stop, Miko! Miko, no! Miko, stop! Miko, don't hurt him! Tom Jones, you alive?
Tom Jones?
Hopefully she kissed him. Free, Tom Jones!
Uh-oh.
Miko! Miko, stop! Miko! What's going on, Kamish?
Kamish, baby!
What's going on, stick carriers? It's OKC Lack.
And OKC Pack.
Man, we're back at you with another Bucks take. We're sitting here on lunch break.
Minding their fucking business, Lack. Just minding their fucking business.
And we had to send one in, man. Kamish, you post on the Facebook page about the media. Yo, we better stop or else. Man.
Miko gonna put her dick in their mouth, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, man. So we had to send in a Bucks take, man. Here's the thing, stick carriers. It's just like the same corporate America bullshit.
Poor Tom Jones.
They just want to control the narrative. And
fuck
when they can't
Scott
control
Reynolds.
The narrative, they say, hey, they're negative.
Corporate bullshit.
Yeah. They have attitudes.
Bullshit.
No, guess what? We're stick carriers. We have brains. We have our own opinions.
Let's go,
and guess
baby!
What? We bring it because the commish has a platform for us to bring it, baby. So once again, shout out to the sponsors, B4, Bricados,
Sports Legends,
Headlines Barbershop.
Irv, we got the Irv in there.
And of course, Joe Bucks fan. With that said, we leave you with this.
Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
See how they get, man. 90 seconds, boom, boom, make their points and get, I mean, they're, listen, if you want a duo to try and mimic for your Bucks take, there it is right there. 90 seconds in and out, making their points and making them strong. Way to go, OKC boys. A few more Bucks takes to get in, then we'll have Luke Easterling on. We'll talk about the Bucks and their draft. And, I mean, you're going to really like what Luke Easterling has to say. I always like what Luke has to say because he's a good friend of mine. But you're going to really like what he has to say on this podcast. Before that, hey, we love the military, man. I'll tell you what, stick carriers from here, all across the nation, all across the world, we support our military right here in the United States of America. One of our favorite guys in the military is our buddy Specialist Griffith. He's got a Bucks take.
Kamish, what up? It's Specialist Griffith. I sent you a take in earlier. I had just woken up. I was groggy. And I just listened to the Miko podcast. I'm pumped up. I had to add something. Getting past all the reminiscing of the draft party, it was great and all, but let's talk football. I did my homework on what I think was our best pick, Chris Godwin. I put it on the Facebook page. People commented. If you look at his size, his strength, his numbers in the combine, he is an exact clone of Roddy White. Now, you add him, Evans, Jackson, Brate, Howard, you put all them on the field at the same time. Who's the other defense going to double team? Someone's going to be open. Someone's going to make plays. I guess that's a question. So you could queue up to Phil Collins. But anyways, speak softly. Carry big motherfucking stick.
Okay. Okay. It's a question.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
So the question from Specialist Griffith was, when the hell are teams going to double team? Here's my answer. I don't fucking know. Who do you double team? Because as much as we talk about, here are the names we talk about, right? Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, O.J. Howard, Chris Godwin, who's mentioned now, Cam Brate. Look at who you're forgetting. Adam Humphries. Any running back, Charles Sims, who, oh, by the way, when was healthy in the passing game, could do some things. He just can't run between the tackles. I mean, there's so many surrounding Jameis Winston right now. It's so exciting. It's so exciting to have all that. It's an excellent question, Specialist Griffith, and I think it was kind of rhetorical on your part. I think you already knew the answer, but you still wanted to ask the question. I love it. Love it so much. I tell you, every day I'm getting Bucks takes coming in from some state or city that I didn't even know we existed in. And by the way, I think we're going to get to the point where we have state carriers and Bucks takes coming in from every single state, all 50 states coming to us for Bucks Uncensored. It excites me. Our next one's from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Stroke?
Commish, this is Stroke. From Colorado Springs, Colorado. My name is Keith, but my friends call me Stroke, so the stick carriers can call me Stroke. I'm sorry I missed the draft party, brother, but I just couldn't make it this year. I will make it next year to that draft party because I cannot believe how many stick carriers came out, and I cannot believe the emotion, the passion, the sentiment that was delivered throughout that draft party, you motherfuckers. I cannot believe it. You guys rocked it. Thank you so much for sharing everything you guys had to share. I love it. I can't believe it. For the first time in a long time, I have hope. I have hope for next year. It's been a long time since I was at the University of South Florida in 2002. When the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took that historic run and won a Super Bowl. I cannot believe it. That season was amazing. But this is a new era, Kamish. This is a new motherfucking era. The fucking stick carriers are fucking uniting all across America. Motherfuckers are all across America. I can't believe it. These motherfuckers, the Facebook page, the fucking draft party, the emotion, it's goddamn amazing. And I can't believe how much these podcasts have delivered to my soul, to my spirit, to my emotion. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's uncharted territory. Commish. Oh, motherfucker. I'm already past my 90 seconds, but this is my inaugural. My inaugural box take, Justin Kamish. I cannot believe how much,
how much this has meant to me! And all across America, the world, what we've done, the movement, you motherfuckers, thank you. And to the sponsors, JoeBucksFan.com, you motherfuckers, you guys are the shit. B4, Bricados, Christian and Headlines Barbershop, Sports Legends, Irv Kaufman, Rick Riley, and all the fucking stick carriers out there. You motherfuckers make this shit. It's our fucking podcast. Justin, you've provided us the motherfucking method to all this goddamn madness out there. Thank you, motherfucker. Thank all you motherfuckers. Whoa. And fuck you, Tom Jones, you piece of shit. Oh, but as always, speak softly. And carry that big motherfucking stick. Just nailed that shit.
First buck stick, I'd say it was pretty good. I did think, and speaking of the ending there, where you gave a nice greeting to Tom Jones, I don't know if I need to repeat it again. I like Tom Jones as a person. I think a lot of you took it very personally that he would write a negative article about Jameis Winston. I also thought about Scott Reynolds earlier today, and, you know, he attacks Ira Kaufman unnecessarily. And I don't want to spend too much time on this. You do what you want. Again, this is your podcast. I'm just giving you the platform for it. But how can we, as a community, right, within ourselves, a movement, fraternity, I think there should always be something that would allow us to forgive somebody. And I've always thought that a public apology. So Scott Reynolds would have to publicly apologize to Ira Kaufman, or Tom Jones would have to publicly apologize for his irrational attack of Jameis Winston. And as long as they do that, I need everyone listening to this right now to agree that they would forgive and move on and not mention it anymore. So again, if you're a Bucks Media member and you're upset because some of the stick carriers on this podcast attack you, it's very simple. There's a very simple method to rectifying it with the thousands upon thousands that listen to this podcast. And I would imagine in these tough days in the media, you wouldn't want to sway anyone to not read your stuff. You'd more want to encourage people to read your stuff, especially thousands of people that listen to this podcast. The one way you can do it is public apology. Yeah, you might have to tuck your tail between your legs, but to our pleasure that we get to witness it all, at the same time, we would completely forgive and move on. So if you want to rectify yourself with any of the stick carriers that listen to this podcast, by all means, public apology. I'm behind it, and I know that the followers, the stick carriers, are behind it as well. I just have, I have a lot here. Let me get, look who it is. It's Lee.
Hey, what's up, Justin? What's up, stick carriers? It's Lee out of Tampa. Hey, Justin, I just want to say, man, look, there's strength in numbers, okay? And we're strong as fuck. Us stick carriers, we're deep as fuck. We're family. We already know we can make shit happen. When we need shit to go down, we make shit go down. So with that said, all we're doing is grooming our children and our younger family to be the next generation of stick carriers. Teaching them how to be Bucks fans, how to be family, how to look out for one another as stick carriers. And eventually, they'll be old enough to where they'll know how this shit go. They'll know what stick carriers all about, what Buccaneer fans all about, and what this community and bringing it together and building it and keeping it strong and growing it is all about. And then we'll turn them loose and they'll be the next generation of stick carriers. Just wanted to add that, man. I just wanted to say that. Now, to the Bucks, we picked up Godwin, Chris Godwin, and O.J. Howard. I think main reasons, those were big targets on the board. Those guys compete for footballs when they're in the air. When the ball is thrown, those two guys, Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard, more than likely will come down with the ball. I know over the past couple seasons, we've seen too many passes being thrown that if they're not in the line sight of the receiver, you don't see guys going up to contest for balls. Chris Godwin, when the ball is in the air, will fight for the ball. He will use his body to put himself in position to get the ball. O.J. Howard will do the same thing. They will fight tooth and nail to come down with receptions to help Jameis Winston pick up those first downs and eventually touchdowns. That's my bus take. Wanted to keep it short and sweet. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. Go
all
Bucks.
All right, Lee. All right, Lee. That's short and sweet and to the point. I love it. I don't really have a time constraint on Lee, Lou, Will in the Midwest. There's certain guys like that. Just ask the rest of you, try and keep it to 90 seconds just because I want to squeeze in as many as I can't do another that's what she said joke. Let's get Chris on. Hey, Chris.
Yo, what's up, Justin? Chris Mandingo. We are now friends on Facebook. I'm part of the Stick Carriers group. Been following the Twitter, man, all throughout the weekend. Really sucked I couldn't join you guys. And then after hearing that podcast yesterday was just phenomenal. It was everything I thought it was going to be leading up to it. But then it got me thinking about the parties and about all that stuff. Bro, we used to do all that shit back when we were 18 to 22 and it was called spring break. So I guess this is now spring break for football fans, and it just happens to be draft weekend during the spring. So I'm all down for that. But definitely going to have to double down on some B4 next year because I have to make up for this year. And the La Quinta seems like it needs to be the spot for all of us. And I've been noticing on the Facebook, there's a lot of Orlando people here. That's where I'm at. So anytime you guys want to hook up and go watch a game, man, I am down for that. So always looking for people with like-minded outlooks on the Bucks, and it seems like that we all have that. And Justin, I've been listening to you on your podcast since you started the Commish's podcast after you left 98.7, and I've been following you ever since. So I've watched this podcast evolve into what it is. You say it's us, but dude, without you laying that foundation and building that up from what you started with, we would not be where we're at. We may be here helping you carry it and carrying that fucking stick, but you were the one that planted the tree, brother. And I just wanted to give you a little shout out and just say I'm so excited to, don't even know you guys, never met you, but I think that we're all friends already. Just like, you know, when you met them, you felt like you've known them your entire life. I feel like that about most of these people just listening to their buck takes. So real excited and can't wait to meet you guys later.
All right, Chris Mandingo. With, I believe, his first Bucks take. And it was another good one. God, you guys are really, I mean, good job. Let's get one more on, then we'll have Luke Easterling from thedraftwire.com talk some football with us. But Aaron's in North Dakota first.
Mr. Commish! Aaron from North Dakota. You know, after listening to your latest podcast with Miko Grimes, which, by the way, she has to be one of the best, if not your best, guests yet. That woman is so fucking real. She doesn't bullshit anybody, and she tells it like she sees it. Got mad respect for a woman like that. Anyways, after listening to the podcast and then seeing some of these hype videos that I've been seeing lately on Facebook and Twitter for the upcoming Bucks roster with the free agent acquisitions and now the newly acquired draft picks, God, how can you not be fucking excited for this season? We basically have the same roster on defense. along with a few upgrades with Baker on the D-line and J.J. Wilcox in the secondary to replace McDougald. And then we get D-Jax on the offense to basically kill the wide the DBs and leave them in the fucking dust. And then O.J. fucking Howard making linebackers and safeties his bitches. God, this year's going to be so fucking fun to watch. I cannot fucking wait. Hey, NFL, there's going to be a new 12th man to follow this year, and it's Raymond James Stadium. It's our year, Buck Nation and Stick Carriers. It's our year. Hashtag follow the light. Hashtag cut it out. Or hashtag cut the shit. And speak softly. And hashtag carry that big motherfucking stick. And fuck you, Tom Jones. Okay. Peace.
Well, public apology would fix that. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks as always. Love the passion you bring all the way up there in North Dakota. All right, we'll get more Bucks takes coming up in a little bit. But Luke Easterling, thedraftwire.com, one last look at what the Bucks did, what Jason Light did as we followed the light. Did Jason Light knock it out of the park? Luke Easterling answers that and much more next.
Bucks Uncensored.
Oh, yes. Let's bring him in. Guy just fucking nailed it all draft weekend. I mean, what happened in the draft was exactly what Luke had been telling you was going to happen. And he joins us now on Bucks Uncensored. Hey, Luke Easterling.
What's up, Kamish?
Mr. Draft Guru yourself, thedraftwire.com. Did anything really surprise you in the draft?
I did not think Mitch Trubisky was number two. I'll say that much. I mean, there was chaos all over the place. I think that all the trades were just fantastic. I'm team chaos when it comes to the draft, and I love when weeks and months of everybody acting like they know what's going on and what's going to happen gets completely blown up in about 20 minutes and. That started at number two, and there were plenty of picks that I think we thought, you know, hey, this is going to happen. I think I got seven out of the top 32, which is actually pretty decent comparatively. But other than that, man, I mean, it was crazy. There were so many picks that were just completely out of left field. Thankfully, none of those picks, in my opinion, were made by Jason Light. I think he absolutely killed it in terms of and just what a draft for the Bucks.
If you could describe Jason Light's draft from first round to seventh round in one word, what would it be?
Value. I think he got such good value at every pick. And you know, this is always relative to my board, obviously. So, you know, take from going every pick, we'll have O.J. Howard, who was a top five player in this draft to me. I didn't do a final numerical board top to bottom, but if I had, he would have been one of the top five players at the top of my board. So you get a number 19, obviously you can value there. In the second round, I had a second round grade on Justin Evans, so they took him there, which made sense to me. Chris Godwin was the number five receiver on my board. He was the first receiver I had graded just outside the first round. I had four receivers in the first. He was the first receiver in the second round at the top there. And they get him at 84. They get him, you know, more than halfway through the third round. Which is ridiculous. They get Kendall Beckwith and at the end of the third. I believe I had a third or a fourth on him. Would have been higher without the injury. You get, you know, Stevie T. I had a fifth round grade on him. They get him in the seventh. And then Jeremy McNichols, I had a fourth on him, and they get him in the fifth. So, you know, relative to my board, they got fantastic value at every single pick, and that's what you know, that's what you go into the draft trying to do.
As much as I don't like baseball, you could say this was a home run draft. By Jason Light, and just another solid one where they're going to have tremendous players coming in that are going to be able to compete and for playing time right away. Yeah, I heard probably the best comparison I've heard for Chris Godwin. And it makes a lot of sense with Dirk Koetter. When you look at his stature, you look at his size, you look at his speed, and you look at the way he catches the ball with his hands away from his body. One of the stick carriers, one of the Bucks takes that came in, compared him to Roddy White. What do you think about that comparison?
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going just by the description. But it does make a lot of sense. A guy that doesn't separate with speed as much as he does with his brain and with technique and, you know, just timing things right, especially on his back shoulder throws and the jump balls. You know, he's a sick receiver, very strong at the point, you know, at the catch point, not going to get out muscled for the ball a lot. You know, faster, I think, at the combine than we really expected, faster than we really see on film. But, you know, another guy that just, he separates in the air, not necessarily on the ground, knows how to go up and get the ball. I think this year, next year, whatever it is, you got DeSean Jackson, you know, taking the top off the defensive deep with his speed. You got Evans, obviously, who's just a physical, you know, matchup nightmare. You got Godwin in there. Adam Humphries is still there. And then you got O.J. Howard and Cameron Bray to tight end. I mean, good luck in the red zone, NFC South.
Tell me about second-round pick Justin Evans. When he was selected, a lot of the people there at the draft party were kind of like, okay, we need a safety, but was that a little bit high? Tell me about him. How's he going to fit in?
Yeah, I get that. And you know, based on my board, I think Melifonwu would have been a better value in a vacuum. But, you know, with Melifonwu, it's a, you know, fantastic athlete. And you and I have got, you know, you and I have talked about this in the past, but didn't ever translate to the field like we saw at the combine. So there's, you know, I understand why some teams shied away from him there, because the tape just didn't match the athleticism. But with Evans, I feel like he fits the personality that Jason Light wants on that defense. He's going to be high risk, high reward. He's going to make some big plays. He's going to make some plays that are going to make, what was he doing on that play? He's, you know, needs to work on his tackling as far as form and being a reliable tackler, a hammer. He will hit you hard. Sometimes at the expense of technique, which is what he's going to need to work on. He kind of goes for the kill shot as opposed to wrapping a guy up. But, I mean, if you're talking about a center fielder playmaker on the back end who's going to, you know, be able to give you that single high, cut down the passing lanes and go get you some interceptions and make some big plays, that is exactly what you're getting. You're getting that swagger, that identity on the back end that you're going to pay for taking some of those deep shots down the field. And the Bucs just have not had a guy like that in years. So he there will be some growing pains. I understand some of the concerns with Bucks fans, you know, with the consistency. But I think more often than not, and especially as he grows and develops that technique as a tackler and takes a few, you know, knows when to pick his spots to take those risks, I think they're going to be very happy in the long run.
If there was one thing that you had to teach or that a safety didn't have coming into the NFL, I would think, you know, tackling technique. You know, he's coming down, he's a big hitter, he's got tremendous athleticism, he can run all over the field. As you said, he's a center fielder. If I just need to teach him the tackling technique, that's at least something that can be taught. He seems to have all the other skill set, right?
Yeah, I think that's what NFL coaches are for, are they not? I mean, if I'm a coach, you know, defensive backs, it's my job. My job is to get, you know, I want a general manager who's going to bring the tools to me, bring the talent, bring that, you know, playmaking mentality, that swagger at that position. Let me fine tune it. Let me take that, you know, that raw ability and do my job, which is to turn him into a professional caliber player. So, you know, I look at a guy like Jack Conklin. You and I talked about him a good bit last draft class. And, you know, my biggest issue with him, the reason I had a second ground grade on him, was that I loved his mentality. I loved the way he went after it and had that nasty physical style, but the technique was just so hit or miss. And I was really concerned by that. He goes out, you know, becomes a top 10 pick and an all pro as a rookie. You know, you look back at the film and you're like, you know, maybe I should move the scale a little bit towards, you know, the type of player and the type of mindset, the type of mentality he's able, and not be as concerned with the technique, because it's at the next level. They're going to be able to develop that talent.
Luke Easterling's on with us. It's at Luke Easterling on Twitter, and it is thedraftwire.com that he runs things there for. We're talking to him about the Bucks draft and just how well they did. And obviously it did start with O.J. Howard. I don't know what to even ask you about him. You know, I'm a huge fan of his. I never in a million years thought he would drop all the way to 19. I know you're a huge fan of his. I hate to ask you like a cliche, like, well, can he step in and make an impact, right? No, I know that. So Luke, I mean, do you have anything to add to this? I really don't know what to ask you about O.J. Howard.
Here's what I'll say about O.J. Howard. I mean, first of all, he's as advertised in every way. I spent a lot of time in the Senior Bowl talking to him, watching him just embarrass the best linebackers and safeties or whoever you put on him, whether it was one-on-one drills or whatever at the Senior Bowl was just ridiculous. I think my favorite rep, though, that I saw at the Senior Bowl was a pass-protecting drill where he went up against Ryan Anderson, who was a teammate at Alabama, was a dominant player in the playoff game. I went to the Redskins in the second round. But just a physical, powerful rusher, not necessarily the speed guy. But they had a one-on-one rep in pass blocking, and O.J. Howard just dominated him. I mean, just shut him down. And again, you're talking about more of a low-cut, you know, thicker rusher against a really tall, you know, high-cut receiver, not even an offensive lineman. And he handled him like an offensive tackle. He just went nowhere. So that was actually my favorite rep, and it proved to me, I think the biggest knock on Howard that some people had throughout the draft process is, you know, why didn't they use him as much if he's so good? Wouldn't you just want to maximize your you know, weapons there? And it's not that they, you know, obviously Alabama, they run the ball so well, you don't really need to use them. But the lack of production wasn't a problem for me, because what I saw is in that rush-heavy offense, it forced Howard to be developed as a blocker just as much more. So, I mean, he's barely touched the tip of the iceberg with what he's capable of as a receiver. And I use Julio Jones as an example. Julio Jones was completely underused at Alabama throughout his career because they just didn't need to push the ball down the field as much. And then he gets to the NFL and he gets in an offense where they need to maximize that talent and ability, and he goes through the roof. So I see a similar situation with Howard, where he's just going to explode and do more as a receiver than we ever saw him do at Alabama. And at the same time, he gives you that flexibility to be able to block and to help in the run game, help with pass protection as well. So you could make the argument that when you put it all together, the off-field, the medical, the on-field, the potential, the personality, all that, you could make the argument that he is the most complete player draft, period. So to get that guy at 19, I think is just maybe the steal of the entire first round, if not the draft.
Holy shit. I'm so pumped up right now. I love it. All right, let's ask you about a couple of mid-round guys. Let's start with Beckwith, who they trade up with. They trade up and get at the end of the third round. A lot of people thought that was going to end up being the running back because we knew running back was a big need for the team. What do you think about the pick of linebacker? He's coming off an ACL, but if healthy, if he gets back healthy, what type of pick is that going to be for the Bucs?
I think it goes back to what we talked about with Evans. It's a mentality thing. They want the personality of this defense to be fast, physical, punch you in the mouth, and they want to have that at every position. So I think at linebacker, you've got two extremely athletic but kind of undersized guys in Levante and Quan who, you know, they have that mentality, but they, you know, because of their size, I don't think they're just able to be as physical as you may want. So you look at Beckwith, and he kind of reminds me of, I think it was either the year before that or the year before that, was Denzel Perryman out of Miami, went to the Chargers. Will meet you in the hole, knock you on your ass, linebacker that's going to, he's probably better suited to play the mic, which may be in the cards. I know Jason Lice mentioned that a couple times. He just gives you some flexibility, gives you some depth. Probably, you know, once he's healthy, is obviously the best Sam option you have to give you your starting three, but I mean, we saw what happened to this defense when Quan was suspended for those four games a couple years back. You know, it wasn't helpful to see Dane Fletcher out there running around or, you know, whoever's going to be behind them now. So his ability to slide into the mic if you have an injury or what have you, it just gives you a lot of flexibility. So, again, he's an old-school physical guy. They want to, you know, be that type of defense that's going to hit you and make you fear them like the Bucs defenses were feared by, you know, in the past in their heyday. So, again, once he's healthy, hopefully he comes back to full strength, but I like the value.
Day one and day two go, and the Bucs didn't get a running back. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was surprised. I think that really it just told us how much the Bucks were comfortable enough with what they had compared to what was on the board. You know, and that's what it's all about. It's all about matching that, you know, at every round, at every pick. Like, you know, how comfortable are we with what we already have versus what we can get here or what we think we can get later? I think for the Bucks, from their perspective, from Jason Light's perspective, I get the feeling that they liked the way it turned out by waiting until the fifth round because a guy that they had highly rated in McNichols, an insanely productive running back, another Boise State guy, obviously everybody's talked about that a lot, but I mean, he's a very similar back to Doug Martin. I think he's a three down back who's, you know, 5'9", 210, 215-ish with, you know, physical, with balance, can catch the ball very, very well out of the backfield, probably better than Doug Martin right now already, back from the torn labrum, which I don't think will be a serious issue. I think he could, you know, he'll compete heavily to be involved very, very soon.
Yeah, you do have now McNichols, you have Jacquizz Rodgers, you have Charles Sims, Peyton Barber. I'm not holding, you know, my breath for Doug Martin. I don't know. Nobody really knows what they're going to do with him. Obviously he looks great in shorts and a t-shirt, but, you know, at $7+ million, I don't know what they're really looking to get out of him. I want to throw a name at you, because I'm wondering, they did get McNichols late, so maybe they felt they could get value there. You also look at some of these teams that drafted running backs and if any of their current running backs are going to be available. And one name that came to my mind during the draft was, I mean, when you look at the Redskins and they have Fat Rob, they have Chris Thompson, and then they draft Samaje Perine. My first thought is they got a guy in Matt Jones who played high school ball right here at Armwood. I just wonder if that might be the type of guy that Jason Light goes and gets, a guy who's still young, can still maybe be very productive in the NFL, was a third round pick just a couple of years ago. Maybe it's Matt Jones. Maybe it's somebody like him, but maybe if you're Jason Light, you didn't want to invest a first or second round pick because those type of players might become available, even before training camp starts.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that whatsoever. Matt Jones is an incredible natural athlete. Great size. I think he'd be a fun option if he ended up being on the market, and that makes sense with the depth that the Redskins have in that backfield. So I think at running back for the Bucks, it's just going to be, you know, may the best man win or the best two, you know, win. It's going to be an open competition where I think Jason Light has proven by what he's said and done in the past that he doesn't care if you're making $8 million or if you were this round draft pick or, you know, what they've invested in you up to this point. You're going to have to prove it where it counts and when it matters. And that's, you know, going to be through training camp, through the preseason, up to those final cuts and into the regular season when you look at who makes the team and who's going to be competing for those touches and begin. So I think he's not going to be married to whether it's a trade, whether it's Doug Martin, whether it's McNichols when he's healthy or any of these guys, whoever's, you know, prove they have the hot hand is going to get the touches, and everybody else, they're just going to have to fight for the scraps.
If you were in a dynasty fantasy football league, who would be your number one pick this year?
That's cheating because we're in a dynasty league together, but I don't have the number one pick. I think I picked third in our league. But I'd take Christian McCaffrey just because if it's our league, it's PPR, it's point per reception. So that's an easy pick for me.
Shit.
I think he's going to make such an impact in the receiving game. So I don't think you can go wrong with Fournette, but I think that offensive line in Jacksonville still needs some work. Dalvin Cook is obviously a great option in a vacuum as a player, but you got, you know, Latavius Murray already signed there. Jerick McKinnon's obviously a talented guy. So those three guys will probably be the first three picks. But McCaffrey goes number one just because I think he makes such an impact both as a runner and a receiver.
You want to trade? You want to trade?
We're talking now. We got exclusive on the podcast here. We got trade negotiations.
I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, I got some receivers now. I got some receivers. And I'm willing to make a trade to get up. There's one player in particular that I'm targeting, but I don't want to tell you who he is on the podcast.
I mean, that makes sense. I wouldn't expect that of you. That's the problem with my team, though, is that all I have is receivers. I took Amari Cooper over Todd Gurley the year I had number one pick, I think.
Not a terrible pick.
So I'm pretty
Gurley
happy.
Hasn't
I wouldn't
really
want to run behind that offensive line. The first year I was kind of doubting myself for a little while there when he was he was getting hot. But now that I've got Cooper with Derek Carr and all that, and I'm happy about that. I have no running backs. My running backs all burned out on me, so it's gonna be tough to trade out of a place where I can get one of those three guys.
True, but it was a deep running back class, so you can get one later. I'm just saying, and I have no idea what pick I have, so I want to wheel and deal this year is what I'm looking to do. Anyway, Luke Easterling, thedraftwire.com, absolutely crushed it, nailed it. Whatever you want to say about Luke, he did it. Congratulations to you, Luke, on a fantastic draft season, and I know you're probably already planning for the season and then for next draft season as well, because if I know you, you've already got your mock draft laid out. You probably already posted it for 2018, didn't you?
I did. I posted it that next Monday, I think a couple of days afterwards. So I've got that out. Released my way too early big board this morning, actually, with my top 25 guys on it, which is obviously, I mean, stupid. Let's be honest with ourselves. Zero sense. Probably what, 5 to 10 of those guys, I should probably go back and look at my first ones from last year. It's all in fun. It's all to get people looking ahead. And get, you know, just try to match up needs and who could be where. I mean, most people get really riled up over the mock drafts by looking at where they have their team picking, and they freak out because they say that the 49ers will pick second again after this draft. You know, it's hilarious. Even though you could tell them plain as day how, you know, a million times that you took the draft order from the, you know, Super Bowl odds, but they don't care. They're just going to yell at you anyway. So yeah, I got a bunch of stuff coming out. I'm doing watch lists for every position, so receivers will come out either late tonight or tomorrow. But I've got quarterbacks and running backs already out for next year, so 15 guys at each position to keep an eye on for next year.
Awesome. Thanks, Luke.
Hey, anytime.
Luke Easterling is the shit. Bucks Takes, next.
Bucks Uncensored.
Same OG, but I've been low key. Hated on by most these niggas with no cheese, no deals and no G's, no wheels and no keys, no posts, no snowmobiles and no skis. Mad at me cause I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries. Got a crib with a studio and a saw full of tracks to add to the wall full of plaques. Hanging up in the office and back of my house like trophies. Did y'all think I'ma let my toe freeze? Oh please, you better bow down on both knees.
Thanks again to Luke Easterling coming on with me. Good friend. Of course he's going to come on. We'll have him on whenever. You know what I'm saying? We'll have him on whenever. A little Dr. Dre for you. That's how I roll. A little Dr. Dre. I need to pull some other old Dr. Dre. Maybe some Tupac and stuff like that. I don't know. I like playing music that's upbeat, you know? And I know people are posting suggestions on Facebook. Just know this, like, I was in sports talk radio for like 13 years. So I heard all those mundane, old rock and roll rejoin me. This is a different type of podcast. I want this upbeat. I know, listen, this is the new age of things, man. So gone are the days of the old AC/DC Back in Black. Oh, that's the go-to rejoin song. Okay. All right. That's old fashioned sports talk radio. We're going to play a little rap. We're going to play a little pop. We're going to play a little Bruno Mars. We're going to play a little Gin Blossoms and Hootie and the Blowfish. We're going to play shit. We're going to play some Dave Matthews. We're going to play shit that I want to play. Okay. And you're going to like it because it's going to be upbeat. It's going to go right with the podcast. All right. So thanks to Luke. Good stuff from him. Got some Buck Stakes I want to play. Y'all remember Tyrell from the last podcast. If you didn't hear the last podcast, you need to go and listen to it. Tyrell, very, very emotional about the brotherhood that we've built here, about the community, about the closeness. You know, really, really heartfelt from him. And it really, really spurred on a lot of other Bucks Takes to come in. I mean, people really, really feeling what Tyrell was almost as if he was speaking to them right through this podcast. David's up with us. Hey, David.
What's going on, Justin? David from Clearwater. I just want to send a big shout out to Tyrell. Tyrell, man, that was some touching shit, bro. You know, it's a beautiful thing when a man can get on and show those true emotions, man. And, you know, I was sitting there listening to the podcast and, you know, and your Bucks Cake came on and, that shit hit home, man. It really hit the heart, man. And it's amazing that we can all come together, you know, have this brotherhood, man. And, it doesn't matter, you know, what color you are, who you are as a man. Only thing that matters is that you are a stick carrier and we all love each other, man. And that's what it's all about, man. And it's, you know, me being a Bucks fan for years, man, I used to, you know, just be emotionally wrecked after a game. And, you know, I would just be so down. And when we win, I would just be on cloud nine. And I'm like, you know, maybe I have a problem. Why do I love the Bucks so much, man? And it's like, it's awesome to, you know, have a brotherhood out there that feels the same way, man. So, you know, keep your head up, bro. You know, if any haters come your way, fuck them, man. You know, us stick carriers got your back, man. It's all love. And anytime you come to Tampa, man, beer on me, man, straight up. So, we would love to get you down. Like Justin was saying, man, if you can get down to that Giants game. And Justin, wouldn't it be a beautiful thing that we got a shitload of stick carriers for that Giants game and we just march right up in that motherfucking stadium like on some cult shit, like we just took over. Like people were like, who the fuck are they? And we're just chanting, carry that big motherfucking stick, and everybody is just looking at us like, oh shit. And we just, you know, we bring that energy and everyone just feeds off of it, man. And I'd love to turn that Buck Stadium into this place where you come to and get rowdy, man, and have fun. And, you know, it's been years of sitting on your ass and just being miserable in the hot sun. And, you know, all that shit's changed, man. And the few Bucks games I went to last year, it was just amazing. The energy in there, man, especially towards the end of the year when we're making that playoff push. So yeah, let's get that shit together, man, and go in there and take over that bitch at that Giants game. But back to you, Tyrell, man, salute to you, brother. And, much love, man. Keep sharing those Bucks takes, man. And, like I said, bro, we got your back. That's my time. Speak softly. Oh, before I fall out, man, the Miko interview, that shit was gold. I appreciate that interview, Justin. That shit was entertaining. And it was just nice to have someone that's genuine and real and speaks from the heart. And, you know, she didn't come with no bullshit. She answered every question and she answered the way she's going to answer it, man, which is straight realness. So thank you for that, man. And if you can have more interviews in the future, man, that'll be awesome. That's my time. Probably went over a little bit, but speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. I'll let your boy.
I have, been in contact with Miko, and we are going to have her back on as we get closer to that Dolphins opening day game. So don't you worry about that. She loved coming on. I loved having her on. And I thought the interview discussion her and I had far exceeded my expectations, and I had high expectations for it. So that was pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And happy to have her back on anytime she wants to come on, but definitely as we get closer to the season. Tyrell didn't just hit home for David. You know this guy's emotional, man. This guy wears his emotions on his sleeve. It's Tampa Tony.
Yo, what's up, Justin? Stick carriers. It's Tampa Tony. Look, I don't leave the best Bucks takes. I know that, but this one I hope I can get out. Between Saturdays and Mondays, just back-to-back, excellent. I got to start with Tyrell, my Buccaneer brother. I don't understand why there's so much bitterness in the world, man. But I'll tell you this, you're coming into a community, a lot of caring people who I personally witnessed at the draft party and chatting online and And if anyone, like, ever interferes with that with us, Kamish will take out the trash. I know that for a fact. He is loyal, and I can personally attest to that. So, you brought up Brandon, who I think exemplifies our stick carrier movement. And Brandon, I'll talk to you personally, but you come back whenever you do with the wife or by yourself. Either way, you have a place to stay, my man. Miko, I think I fell in love. She's so perfect for the Tampa Bay market because she helps funnel out the bullshit. That was the best Bucks wife interview I've ever heard. And in fact, I don't think I've ever even heard a Bucks wife interview. Wow.
It's a Javier, Bucks wife.
Lou, Outlaw, 50 Shades. Great hearing you, OGs. And welcome, Hodo. What a cool dude that guy is. And those with the first time takes, awesome. Thank you to sponsors and everybody. Speak softly. Carry that big motherfucking stick with Miko. Nailed it.
All right, Tampa Tony. Told you he was a little emotional there at the beginning. So we had a couple of guys really touched by Tyrell, but nobody was as touched by Tyrell's. And why am I playing these, right? Because it's showing that we're much more than just fans coming together. We're showing that strangers can hear other strangers and say, you know what? I'm connecting with that guy. I feel his pain, and I want to make sure that I'm there for him. If nobody else is going to be there, I'm going to be there for him. That's what we're building here. It's not just a fan group. It's much more than that. And I'm going to continue to hammer that home. Anyway, Travis up in Michigan, it really hit home for him as well. Here's what he had to send in.
Hey, Justin, man. This is Travis up in Michigan. Podcast has been getting pretty emotional. People getting really open and honest with each other lately. And I felt like it was time for me to be honest with everybody on here. About some of the things that have been going on in my life. And basically the long and short of it is me and my wife separated and I moved out. We had two children together. It's been a really, really hard time for me. I've dedicated my life to building something, starting a family. And so I've kind of disconnected from friends and social life in general. So for about last month or two, really this podcast has been an extension of my social life. I do get to see my children from time to time, which is amazing. But other than that, I'm pretty lonely. And so I just appreciate listening to this podcast for the hour, hour and a half, three times a week that I get. It's really one of the highlights of my week. I appreciate all the stories I get, and I wish I could have made it down to the draft party with you guys and hung out with you, because every time somebody speaks on this podcast, I just feel like, man, that's me. Like, this band's putting into words what I can't, what I'm feeling. I love all you guys, man, all of you, from Lou to Port Richie, fucking Brandon, and Will in the Midwest, all of you guys, every single one of you, even if you haven't put on a Bucks take yet, and you're listening to this, there's a connection with us. And it's hard for me because I live in Michigan, not a whole lot of Bucks fans. So, I mean, it's hard for me to connect with people in general because I'm kind of antisocial. But I really, really, really love this podcast. And I'm so appreciative of you, Justin, that you take the time out of your day. I mean, I can only imagine how long it takes to listen to all these podcasts or Bucks takes and form a podcast. So, it's definitely had an impact on me. Like I said, this is some of the best conversations I have. And I love you guys. Speak softly. Carry that big motherfucking stick.
Travis, thanks for sharing such intimate details about what you're going through. And just know of the thousands, and there's thousands of people that listen to each and every podcast. you just never know what people are going through, whether it's Tyrell and dealing with the racism that he's dealt with in Tennessee, or Travis dealing with his separation from his wife in Michigan. Just know that your stories are hitting home for a lot of people. And you just don't know what anyone's going through. But my hope, and trust me, I've used this podcast as therapy. And I know a lot of you have as well. So, you know, whether you're going through a positive time in your life or you're going through a down time in your life, we're all connected, not just through this podcast, but through our love of our football team and through a common bond. And so I just ask that you respect each other, interact with each other. That's why I created the Facebook group page, so that you can interact with each other, lean on each other, ask each other for advice, provide advice, and just try and enjoy life. Like I said, whether you're going through a downtime in your life or a positive time in your life, just try and enjoy every moment of every day, and know that, you know, things will get better. Things will get better for you, Travis. You know, you've got thousands upon thousands of new friends that are here, and you can always email me. You have my email. I've already emailed you back. Anytime you want to talk something through, I'm happy. I'm happy to talk it through with you. As I said, you never really know what other people are going through, and perhaps they can talk that through with you. Sarasota Jay, let's get him on. Wants to go on a cruise.
What's up, Commish? Fellow Stick Carriers, this is at Sarasota Jay on Twitter. What's up, fellas? Just listen to that last podcast. It was awesome. But I'm calling a comment on this draft cruise idea. That is perfect. You know why? Because we don't have to tell our wives what we're doing. We can just say, hey, honey, you want to go on a cruise? Yeah, it sounds amazing. Yeah, we'll go to Cancun and Belize. Oh, that's awesome. Why are we going on the cruise, honey? Just because I love you. And then we get on the boat, and there's fucking 400 of us, all Stick Carriers with Bucks gear on. I'll be perfect. She couldn't be that mad for much longer. It's key. We got to get the women involved, fellas. For those of us that are married and have kids, if the women want to go, it's going to happen. If they don't want to go, sometimes you lose on that debate. At least I do. I know what my priorities are. Hey, you know, there a few weeks ago before the draft, we talked about a memorable Bucks game or one of the best Bucks games, and someone commented on that 62-yarder kicked by Matt Bryant. Man, I was in Arizona for that, and it was awesome. I was at an all-Eagles bar. I stepped in, walked in, and automatically I get booze. The whole first floor is covered in Eagles fans. So I took it and kind of went upstairs. I was out there for work, and so went with a couple of my work buddies. And, of course, the whole game they're yelling, you know, their Eagles chant, fly, Eagles, fly, doing push-ups every time they score. Well, by the end of the game, I was pretty sauced. I also was like, why are we kicking this kick? Matt Bryan steps up and kicks this kick and nuts it. I ran downstairs and yelled, go Bucks, B-U-C-S, Bucks, Bucks, Bucks. And proceeded to do the number of push-ups that we had just, the points. And all of a sudden, here comes this big-ass dude coming to try to beat my ass. And luckily, a couple of buddies of mine grabbed me and left. But it was awesome. It was one of my favorite Bucks moments of all time. Anyway, just thought I'd share. Looking forward to this off-season. And just remember, speak softly. Carry that big motherfucking stick!
All right, Jay, Sarasota Jay on with us, at Sarasota Jay on Twitter. Follow him there and try to follow each other back on Twitter. Interact with each other. And I'm seeing a lot more people do it, but in your profile on Twitter, use hashtag stick carrier. Just so that people know when they click on your profile, they're like, this guy's a stick carrier. I got it in mine. Go ahead and do it in yours as well. All right, let's take a trip around the nation. We got a few people all across the nation that I want to get on. We'll start in Kansas. Kansas? We haven't had anyone from Kansas yet. Blake is there. Hey, Blake.
Hey, Justin and Stick Carriers. This is Blake in Kansas, and I want to give a quick shout-out to them OKC
C boys.
Just south of me in Oklahoma and telling me about the podcast early last week. I've known them for a while now and they've been dealing straight fire on these podcasts. Justin, this podcast is absolutely fantastic. I've always wanted something more and to feel closer to the Tampa Bay organization and their fans, especially from way out here in Wizard of Oz land. I can't thank you enough for this movement. Switching gears here, I am absolutely stoked for this 2017 season. I believe the Jolly Roger is steered for victory waters. And gang, there's going to be a lot of cannon fire in the coming years.
The snap out of the gun. Weston looking, runs to his right, goes a pass toward the end zone, caught ball, inbounds, touchdown Tampa Bay, touchdown Buccaneers, Mike Evans, Bucs take the lead, 22.
I'm moving to Florida in August, in time for the football season, and I absolutely can't wait to meet up with a lot of you. On that note, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
All right, from Kansas. How about that? First one from Kansas. Thanks, Blake. Friends with the OKC boys. Thanks for spreading the word, guys. Jamie's in Houston, so we go from Kansas to Texas.
What's up, Justin? This is Jamie coming out of Houston, Texas. I just want to say real quick, OJ Howard, best pick, number one in a long time. That's not what I'm calling about today. What I'm calling about is home field advantage. Obviously, I'm in Houston, so I cannot attend many Bucks games. I did attend one last year, which was the home game against Atlanta. Didn't go too well, but I did lose my voice in that game as well as my brother did. But in 2015, I did attend the Tampa Bay Bucks at Houston Texans, and I did notice one advantage. They have a crappy ass team. Houston does, but man, that stadium, man, lights up at all times, no matter who is there playing. And it's a reason why in 2016 they had a 7-1 record at home. 7-1. You can go look. I just did it myself. They had a 7-1 record at home, man. If we can all get up, get loud like they do, then we should have a great record like that at home. I mean, I know we've been beating it into these fans, to our fans, about getting up and getting loud for our Bucks on every down, even when our opposing team is in the huddle. But as we can beat that into our fans' heads, man, I think we can get like a good winning record like that at home, and that's our key right there to success in the NFL. So just want to say that real quick. Love the podcast, love all the sponsors, love everybody listening to it, love the new Facebook page. And as always, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
All right, there you go. In Texas. So we go from Kansas to Texas. Let's go to Tennessee. Our buddy Derek is in Memphis. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Justin. It's Derek up here in Memphis. Just got done with the Miko Grimes interview. And, man, that was a fun interview between just two legit Buccaneer fans. You know, I know Miko has a husband that's a Buck, but she still seems like she's a fan that cares for this team. And also like the discussion that she had about Hard Knocks and all these people that say Hard Knocks is a distraction. Go fuck yourself. If it's a distraction, they shouldn't be playing football. Get over it. I'm excited that the Buccaneers are doing Hard Knocks. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to have to get HBO just to watch the motherfucker, but I'm glad my team is on it this year. Hey, man, thanks for all you do, and always remember, speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
We're just going all across the nation, from Kansas to Texas to Tennessee. Now let's go out west. Let's go to Utah. Haven't had one from Utah yet. Ryan is there. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Justin. This is Ryan from Hiram, Utah. Still pretty bummed out I wasn't able to go to that draft party and be able to bond with you fellow stick carriers and share my passion with you. But anyways, I was listening to something Cutter said. Four out of the six draftees were doing good. So I'm wondering who the two that aren't. I'm sure one of them's the linebacker that's hurt. But is the other one the running back that we got? Or that defensive tackle out of USC, Stevie T? Tell me what you think. Love your podcast. And as always, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know because they're in shorts and t-shirts. So I like to give rookies the benefit of the doubt until they put the pads on. And then once they do and they look like Kenny Bell, then I'm like, okay. This isn't working. So that guy's going to have to get up and get on out of here. You know what I mean?
I'm sure that you have heard the name Aldolfo. A ladies man who wins a claim Aldolfo. Well, lovely miss, I am the same Aldolfo. I introduce myself, I am Aldolfo.
What's going on, Kamish? What's going on, Bucks fans? It's Aldolfo from Fort Lauderdale. Hey, man, shout out to Tyrell, man. Shout out to Tyrell. He's a black guy with a beautiful white wife. I'm a white guy with a beautiful black wife. We all Bucks fans. Here we go. Shout out to the multiracial couples. Shout out to my biracial kids. Bucks fans also. Fuck the haters! Fuck these racist bastards! Fuck them all! They don't like it, they can kiss my ass! Kamish, let's go! Let's go, Bucks fans. I can't wait to see y'all in the Dolphins games. I can't wait. I love the way this is coming along. I can't wait till I buy my seats. I'm going to let y'all know where I am. But right now, it's looking like Section 119. That's what they're talking about on Facebook. That's what I'm going to try to make happen. Loved everything Miko had to say. Man, she kept it real. She definitely kept it real on that Jameis stuff, boy. Love when you have guest commish. I love the Joes when they come on. They keep it real. I love Joe Bucks, man. That's where I listen to the podcast. And, yeah, Kamish, I just my football take on the Bucks. Looking at the draft next year, just early assessment. I think Jason Light has done such a great job this offseason that we're literally just going to have to replace the old guys, the old farts on the team. So possibly offensive tackle for DeMar Dotson, Adrian behind. And actually, Brent Grimes, funny that Miko's on, but Brent Grimes getting up there in age, and he's still playing like a baller. But we might have to replace him just because of age. Defensive line, defensive tackle in particular, getting old, so I might have to replace some of them old guys. But besides that, it just seems like we got to replace for age now because we pretty much good on the team, man. We got a lot of talent everywhere. Love the job Jason Light is doing. And love the job Justin Pulowski's doing with the podcast. Oh my goodness, Kamish. Let's go, Stick Carriers, man. Let's unite, let's assemble. Go Bucks. Fire them cannons, baby.
I am a Aldolfo. Aldolfo.
Excellent as always, Aldolfo. Love having you on, and thanks for the kind words. Miles is up next with us.
Hey, Justin, it's Miles from Jersey. I just wanted to, you know, point out that draft Justin Evans, safety, and Kendall Beckwith, linebacker. Now, you look at the two kind of backgrounds of them, and not really more so Justin Evans, because what I'm going to say about Justin Evans is more so to include Jason Light. Now, Jason Light, when he was with the Cardinals, he drafted some pretty stud safeties in Tony Jefferson and Tyrann Mathieu, Deion Buchanan, if you want to, you know, call him a safety. Now, and Kendall Beckwith went to LSU, linebacker, and LSU has produced some great linebackers in Quan Alexander and Deion Jones. Now, I think with those two backgrounds that they might honestly turn out to be pretty fucking good. Now, Here comes my question.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
Do you think that that idea is a little too much of overthinking, or do you think it's very much possible? Or just what's your opinion on the two of them? All right, I appreciate your time. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Did anyone else lose that? I started humming Phil Collins in my head, and I forgot what he was talking about before Phil Collins.
So. Chris and Quine Alexander and Deion Jones. Now, I think with those two backgrounds that they might honestly turn out to be pretty fucking good.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't think you're overthinking it at all. Didn't we talk about that with Luke? Mentality. I talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. Mentality. Jason Light had a vision for his defense, right? He had a vision. So I think, Miles, I think you're spot on. He wanted to get bigger, meaner, nastier, faster, more aggressive. He got it all with those draft picks on the defensive side. So, Miles, have some confidence there because you nailed it. Nailed it. Adolfo's already gone. Man, we're almost to the end. But how could we end without a take from Lou?
Justin, Lou and poor Richie, brother. Brother, I just got done listening to the podcast, man. Bro, that fucking interview with Miko was phenomenal, man. That shit was awesome, man. It's like, you know, a match made in heaven, man. Miko, come to the Bucks Uncensored podcast, man. You know what I'm saying? She's just one of us, man. I mean, you know, what more can you ask for, man? And she just brings it. She was on fire. On fire! And I just hope she comes often, man. You know what I'm saying? Comes often. It's not a stranger, man. We need more Miko. We definitely need more Miko, man. Miko, thank you for coming on. Really, really appreciate it, man. Wow. Thanks, Justin, for making this happen. Wow. Hey, man. I heard Tyrell, man. Tyrell, my brother. Tyrell. Listen, brother. Listen to me, man. You a stick carrier, man. You, your family, you one of us, man. Don't ever think that we're going to judge you or we're going to, you know, look at you differently. We family here, man. I mean, anyone that was at that draft party can tell you we didn't give a rat's ass what race you were, what class you come from. We didn't ask any of that, man. You know why? Because we stick carrying motherfuckers! And we fucking family here, baby. We family here, man. Tyrell, we welcome you with open arms. You, your wife, your family, you one of us. So ever, ever think differently, man. And that goes for anyone out there that has the same mindset as us. You're more than welcome. There's no restrictions here. We welcome all. Because this is something special we got here. And this is just going to fucking grow and fucking explode. We are going to fucking be rocking that fucking stadium. Come to season, baby. Not just that fucking Giants game, baby. I mean, we're going to be tailgating motherfuckers. And we're going to have a fucking good time on that Giants game, man. And hopefully that's not the only game we do this, man. You know? But, you know, I was going to say, you know, I was thinking about it, man. Maybe they're going to, you know, in the future, they'd set a certain section for us stick carriers, man. But now that I think about it, man, that whole stadium is ours! It's ours for the fucking taking, man. A section would be too small for us, bro. We own that whole motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And we will. And we will. Just spread the word. Spread the word. But listen, man, I was just wanted to say that, man. Just wanted to bring that out. Stick Carrion Nation! Right fucking here, motherfuckers! Right here! Woo! All right, let me wrap this up. B4, Brocados, sports legends, where you eat like a legend, and you drink like a fucking champ! Iris Podcast, Joe Bucks fan, and never forget my boy Christian, Headlines Barbershop. Go see him, man. Get right. All right, fellas, speak softly. And carry the big motherfucking stick!
I actually think Lou makes an excellent point. What good is having all of us stick carriers in one section at Raymond James Stadium? Spread us out. Let us own the stadium. Take control of your section. Make that stadium what you want it to be. And in the process, this is a tremendous opportunity for each of us to recruit new stick carriers. I'll be wearing my stick carrier t-shirt to every home game. Are you going to do the same? Why not? Bucks colors. We're representing our brotherhood, our fraternity. And by the way, we're more than welcome to welcome more with open arms. I love it. I say we just fucking build this thing up so much that all those jealous fucks that are trying to bring it, that think they can try and bring us down, yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that. Let's end this podcast with a song, shall we? Mark the Mailman.
They all sat there in front of him, the Godfather himself. It was time to ask some questions, and Coach was pumped as hell. They said, Dirk, what are you thinking all your boys are gonna be? He said, we just drafted O.J. Howard. That's a badass football team. Well, they all started laughing. And Coach said, how's that? They weren't acting much like Bucks fans, even though they had Bucks hats. He said, if you ain't behind me, go to Carolina, try your luck. I didn't come all the way down here just to watch some butterflies fuck. We gonna chunk the rock and hit our blocks and punch Cam in the mouth. You won't laugh when December is cheer. We'll win the goddamn South. We ain't scared of no one in the NFC. It's the carrier's dream. Fuck the Falcons, Patriots, and the Cowboys. We're a badass football team. How's that? Speak softly, y'all, and carry a big motherfucking stick.
At Commish Online on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's jplowski324 on Snapchat. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podcast Addict, and Podbean. And the podcast first pops first thing in the morning at joebucksfan.com. Our partners, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturday mornings. And then at noon, if you do subscribe, the podcast will download automatically to your mobile device where you can listen to it at any time, anywhere. Thanks to our sponsors, Bricado's Sandwich Shop, B4, Sports Legends Bar and Grill, where you can eat like a legend and drink like a fucking champ, and Christian Headlines Barbershop, and who knows what else we can have on the horizon as well. As always, I will leave you with the words of our head coach, but in a much, much sexier voice.
Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Nailed it.